And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering down on some ground across the northern half of our state. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, listen, we're about to wrap up this section on the border crisis, and I think I've got one call. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens is on line one. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I want to make this quick. Having lived in that situation, one of the things that people don't mention very often is the actual danger that the people who are coming are in themselves.
Yeah.
When we lived at the orphanage, I found a man on the side of the mesa who had been beaten by his fellow travelers. And I patched him up. I gave him some water. I led him to Christ. But this is a nightmare for everybody, not just people of the United States.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and last I saw, there were well over 800 deaths on the southern border just in the last year, and one sheriff says they find a body in the Rio Grande in his area every day.
Yeah, when we were there the summer before we got there, there were 44 people who were found dead in the back of a truck. They'd been abandoned by the coyotes and they'd been locked in. It's not just a security issue for the United States. That's obviously the most important. But these people are being taken advantage of on so many levels, especially the children.
You're so right, my friend. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
You're welcome, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, well, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and switch gears. We're going to move to the number two on the Triple Dipper, CRT in education. So, listen, what caught my attention this morning. And Boomer, by the way, I'm going to be using, I think it's audio clip number two. Yeah, the one that has the lady lecturer. Okay, you got that one? All right. So here's the deal. Here's what got my attention. You know, CRT was all the talk for a while, and then it doesn't seem to be as much in the forefront of the public discourse as it was earlier this year and some last year, but it's definitely still there. Make no mistake, it is not only there, it is there in spades. And it is literally, and by the way, if you hear diversity, equity, and inclusion, you might as well go ahead and assume that some of that is CRT, critical race theory. The idea that we are a systemically racist nation and that if you are of one race, you are likely to have always been a victim. You'll always be a victim. You're born a victim. And if you're of another race, then you are privileged, and you bear privilege. Doesn't matter whether you had to scratch out a living and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No, you're privileged, and the idea that someone is either a victim or an oppressor from the moment they're born because of their skin color is antithetical to what we are as a country. Now, they may have circumstances that they were born into a rich family, born into a poor family, whatever the case may be. But to say that we are systemically a nation where your skin color totally determines whether you have any worth the moment you're born is just wrong. Well, it's all still out there on a daily basis. Well, the first story I've got here, the one that caught my attention, was a story on Fox News. It came out yesterday. A Washington University lecturer, you heard me, a Washington University medical school lecturer is warning the medical students not to debate her on systemic oppression. She will shut that down. So here's the thing. Remember the arguments for a while there? Oh, critical race theory. I don't know why they talk about it like it's some big thing that happens all the time. It's just a concept they teach for debate purposes in law schools. Bull crap. It's a thing they teach unequivocally as if it exists without you having the ability to argue that it doesn't. Case in point, this lady whose name is Reedy Roger, her last name, Caitlin Reedy Roger, was speaking to a class of medical students this past semester. We actually had to bleep out one of her words. You may hear a gap in the audio here in a second. But she serves as a member of the University of Washington or Washington University's St. Louis Medical School's staff, in charge of health equity and justice lessons. Health equity and justice lessons. And she gave a required lecture the other day that someone got a copy of and sent it out, and it made some news. So she literally tells folks, if you're debating the issue, I will shut you down. In other words, she's saying, what I'm about to tell you is the way it is. And she says, I'm passionate about this. Don't try and tell me it's not. You got the clip, Boomer? Go ahead and play it.
I have a really hard time being neutral around issues of systemic oppression. Okay? So oftentimes you will know how I feel. This does not mean that I am opposed to hearing other perspectives. So I would like to be very clear about that. I am always willing to engage in dialogue with folks that may disagree with me. Always. And I will not think less of you, nor will I try to fight you or debate you. And in fact, if you try to fight me or debate me, I will shut that down real fast, okay? I will also say this. We don't talk about safe space. I don't know that this space is going to be safe. I cannot guarantee safety. I can guarantee support. I also will not ever claim to want to make you comfortable. In fact, I will often be trying to make you uncomfortable. And then the third pillar of health equity and justice is anti-racism. We are very firm in race being a social construct, and that has implications for how we practice medicine. That has implications for how we understand research, and that has implications for how we understand health disparity. And so when we are asking you all to engage in this, we're really asking you to think about your own identities and what that means to be anti-racist, which is an active stance in medicine that we know has a really bad racism issue, right?
Okay, stop. Medicine has a really bad racism issue. Racism, by the way, is a social construct. What the frick does that even mean? Race is a social construct. Oh, by the way, I am open to hearing other opinions if you have them, but if you debate me, I will shut that beep down. What? And by the way, required curriculum. Tell me why that helps someone to be a better dermatologist, ophthalmologist, you know, oral surgeon. That's actually dental school. But for that matter, orthopedic surgeon. Why does that make someone a better? Well, because we're dealing with the systemic racisms that are inherent in the practice of medicine. What? Okay. So here we go again. When you label it systemic racism, then automatically the only solution is that you acknowledge your position in that. It's systemic. It's so broad, you must acknowledge. And what does she call it? Your own identity and how that plays in. So this is what's happening in medical schools. Now, that's a lecturer for Washington University in St. Louis Medical School. In a mandatory class, it was what they called their gateway curriculums. That was recorded. I take it back. That was recorded very recently, but the curriculum came out in 2020. Oh, funny. What was that? Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a summer of love, 2020. That was the year that everything went crazy. So the gateway curriculum was implemented, literally, it says in the article here from Fox News, around the time of the George Floyd riots. It would require, quote, diversity and bias training for all searches and admissions processes, including student, resident, fellow, faculty, and staff positions. What does that mean? That means diversity and bias training is required just to be allowed to be admitted, just to be allowed to be a student, just allowed to be a resident. I'm just telling you, this is a dangerous step in the wrong direction. These are people that you want someone who's being trained to be the best possible medical practitioner they could be. But if you're going to limit who is able to attend because you've now decided that diversity, equity, and inclusion means it's not about who is the most qualified to go to medical school. It's about whether or not we have shown ourselves to be diverse and equitable and inclusive. Well, it's not just that one university. Story here also on Fox News, which is tearing up this subject right now, by the way. Also on Fox News came out in February of this year, critical race theory related ideas found in mandatory programs at 23 of the top 25 U.S. medical schools. Here we go. I'm not quoting you. Well, that one lady did it. Well, it's not a big deal, Phil. It's not like it's everywhere. Yep, apparently it's pretty much everywhere. At least 23 of America's 25 most prestigious medical colleges and universities have some form of mandatory student training or coursework on ideas related to critical race theory, according to the organization criticalrace.org, which monitors this curricula. Says the racialization of medical school education is troubling. It's one thing to recognize the health needs of different populations. It's entirely different to inject racial politics into medical care. Demanding that medical school students become activists is dangerous. So this is, by the way, this is not a biased, this is not, they didn't come in, this is a U.S. News ranking of the America's top medical schools and then a study of those. So they took the top 25 and they went and examined their posted curriculums. Of the top 25 colleges and universities, 23 had some form of mandatory training, and 21 of them offered materials by authors Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi, whose books explicitly call for discrimination. All right, the study found that 16 of the top 25 medical schools have also declared that anti-racism, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, CRT, and or other similar elements will be embedded into the general curriculum of the university. Really? Yes. Among them is the University of Chicago, where first-year students must take a course in health equity, advocacy, and anti-racism. Why is it necessary to train medical students to be advocates for equity? Why is that? Where did that become a thing? And how much are they having to pay to add that to their curriculum in an already extensive course of studies? At the University of Michigan's Medical School, the school's Anti-Racism Oversight Committee recommends that it, quote, incorporate critical race theory, health justice, and intersectionality framework into doctoring materials. That's a stated position. We're not making this up. It's not like, well, we suspicion. We thought we saw something on social media. No, this is their position. It's like libs of TikTok. We're just telling you what they're saying. What time we got here? I'll tell you what, Boomer, I'm going to take a break right now. We're going to take a break, and we come back. I've got another audio clip for you. And then top of the hour, we're going to be talking with State Representative Ed Oliver. He's been working on divisive concepts legislation for the state of Alabama. We'll talk with him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up top of the hour, we should be having a call from State Representative Ed Oliver. He was one of the ones working on the divisive topics bill, divisive subjects, I believe. Anyway, the bottom line is things you shouldn't be talking about, divisive concepts. That's what it was. And so we'll be talking with him very soon about codifying the fact that our state school board has said, we won't allow critical race theory in schools. Okay, cool. That's not codification, though. That's a board decision that can be rescinded at any given time. So moving back, though, to what's happening in medical schools and then jumping back over into Alabama schools, I will say this, by the way, if you're not familiar, very interesting, but two of the founders of critical race theory are actually teachers, lecturers, professors, at the University of Alabama right now. They are. I'll cover that later. But let me do this, Boomer. You got that other clip, that audio clip? So here's the thing. Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, he's a member of a group called Do No Harm, and they are basically a group of doctors that are trying hard to push back against, you know, woke policies and these kind of critical race theory and DEI matters being infiltrated into mandatory curriculum in medical schools. And he's on. He did an interview on Fox that I found fascinating just a couple weeks ago. There's apparently been a recent study by the Association of American Medical Colleges, and that it shows literally that diversity, equity, and inclusion policies have now gained a foothold in medical schools across the nation. And it recommends, by the way, It literally recommends, this study does by the Association of American Medical Colleges, it recommends that they have promotion and tenure policies that specifically reward faculty scholarships and service on DEI topics. And it goes on to say, well, you'll hear about this audio clip. I tell you what, Boomer, let's do this. Here is Dr. Stanley Goldfarb responding to a question about this very thing. Go ahead and play it.
To save my life, why would diversity, equity, and inclusion matter one bit in that OR?
Well, good morning. Of course it wouldn't matter at all. And that's exactly what our organization is trying to push back against these standards, because they really don't speak to what physicians really do, which is to care for sick people, rather than become either social workers or social warriors in a quest to change characteristics of American life. And these standards are incredibly political, ideological, and really will do nothing to improve the health care of any group in America, including African-American patients at whom it's really aimed.
Let's drill down to the specifics. They are shocking. Here are the new standards. They include understanding oppression, white privilege, social risk factors, race as a social construct, and as if that wasn't bad enough, colonialism. What will this do to the training of our next generation of doctors?
Yes, and I think what your audience is seeing now is the fact that critical race theory has now come to medical school, and the concerns that have been expressed about that for secondary education and even primary education now comes to medical education. And it will do nothing to improve the health of the American people and do nothing to improve the health of the target audience here. This is an idea to create physicians to be advocates for various ideological positions and to encourage them to vote for candidates that are going to support these positions rather than a series of issues that are going to improve the way healthcare is delivered, which is really what our organization is concerned with. And I must say our organization is interested in hearing from individuals in healthcare who have seen some of these activities go on in their schools and their hospitals. And we've really benefited from tips that they've sent in to donoharmmedicine.org about these kinds of activities.
Stop it there. So here's the bottom line. He went on to say, Dr. Goldfarb did in that interview, he said, at some point, patients will be viewed as members of a group based on skin color rather than as individuals. And diversity has been elevated above merit and achievement as the basis for choosing med students and promoting faculty. This must lead to a decline, then, in the quality of physician workforce and undermines a foundational idea of America that you can achieve your goals through hard work and talent. Exactly so. But, okay, you're hearing this major influx of CRT and DEI initiatives that are being considered, you know, mandatory curriculum in medical schools across the nation. So much so that organization like his, Do No Harm, has sprung up to try and push back on this. But then you've got what's happening in our schools, right here in Alabama. What's happening in our school? What's happening for our kids? Is this going on in our education processes? Well, you know, everything that happened last year with the bill in Florida that got lampooned and called the Don't Say Gay Bill. Well, it wasn't anything about that. It was basically a bill that dealt with not sexualizing children. Well, we were able to pass something like that in the legislature in Alabama last year. Didn't get near the attention it did in Florida. Okay, fine. We still passed it. And yet, what we're also looking at is our own state school board, under a lot of pressure, because I'll be honest, I think part of it was they were feeling the pressure because the legislature didn't want to deal with it. Well, the legislature sort of foisted it back on the school board. The school board held a meeting in October of last year, our state school board, and they voted at that time to say that they will not have critical race theory policies and curriculum in the public schools. That is not the force of law. That's a matter of policy. We're going to come right back. State Representative Ed Oliver will be on to talk to us about whether or not we're going to see a codification of a divisive concepts bill in the state of Alabama in the coming session. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.